take a time machine back to before the world went to hell, around the year 2000.
The 80s and 90s were so rad. The movies, the music, the TV, the games, that's what I want to talk about.
Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app and continue the conversation on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're cool enough, join the show on Patreon for exclusive bonus content. And now, Less Than 2000 with Adam Wintz and Chad Bischoff.
Less Than 2000.
Now part of the
HyperX
Podcast Network.
Before we get into this, there's something I've been meaning to ask you, all right? It's been bothering me for quite some time now. Where do you buy your clothing?
What are you doing?
Am I doing my job? See, I just overheard you asking Mr. Chang over there to sell his business. He said he didn't want to, but you persisted. So as much as I like you, Kane, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
We had a deal, kid. I paid you this morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. You hired me to protect your interests, and I fully intend to do that. You see, I also have a deal with Mr. Chang. Right now, you're on his property. That's why I have to ask you to leave.
Don't mess with me, kid.
You see, if Mr. Chang were on your property and he was leaning on you, I'd ask him to leave. And then if he didn't do it fast enough, I'd pull my gun out of its holster just like this, and I would shout, "Do we have an understanding, or do you want to see if you can breathe through your forehead?" But I don't have to do that with you, right, Kane? Because we're pals, aren't we?
You might not live to regret this.
I've lived to regret almost everything I've done. See ya.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Chad. Look at those production values, buddy. We've got movie clips now. How awesome is that?
It's amazing. And I'm glad, you know, as the lawyer of the group with you, I'm glad that you convinced me that we can finally actually put stuff like that in our show, because it's amazing. Like, we can have clips, we can have sound effects, we can do so much. I'm so excited about this.
Yes, man, make them shut us down. Make them send a cease and desist letter, a takedown notice. I always say, ask for forgiveness, not permission. So that includes infringing on copyright. Thank you, people who made cuffs.
You also taught me the other thing, a very valuable lesson that I use daily in my career. Contracts are meant to be argued over later. So keep them simple. Kiss those mother effing contracts. I'm still trying to censor myself.
Yeah.
So thank you for those, for the wisdom on that, and for having clips.
And the other piece that I've told you for many years, you know you've made it when you get sued. And since we haven't been sued yet or had any legal ramifications for our show, we have not made it yet. So hopefully a movie studio or record label is going to be like, yeah, you can't use our copywritten material on your podcast. But until that happens, we haven't made it yet.
I'm pretty certain, was it Universal that distributed this? I'm pretty certain they're not going to come knocking on our door going, you need to remove that cuffs, you know, clip right now. I'm pretty certain it's not going to be that big a deal. You know, I made the mistake. I watched it the other night. I made the mistake of watching it again when my wife was in the room. And no kidding, as soon as I said, hey, do you mind if I watch Cuffs? We're going to be talking about it on our show. She goes, yeah, I don't care. She's playing Candy Crush on her iPad. She goes, I mean, you watch it like every week, which I take offense to that because I do not watch Cuffs every week. I want to set that record straight. There was nothing to set straight, but I'm making a thing that I got to set straight.
Don't you love the music, man? This music must take you back. Doesn't it just make you want to bob your head and go, yeah, early 90s.
You know what's so funny is somebody accused this of being a horrible 80s ripoff made in 1992. So, you know, the soundtrack is, I love the soundtrack. You know, I texted you the other day and I said, this is probably my... It's not a good movie, but it's probably one of my favorite it's not a good movie movies.
Let me talk about the music real quick. It is a ripoff of 80s music. It's a ripoff of Beverly Hills Cop music, the Axel F theme. But it's okay, because it's written by Harold Faltermeyer, the guy who did Axel F from Beverly Hills Cop 3. So he ripped himself off. And so in 92, yes, this is like a watered-down version of do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Come on. That is a way better song.
He goes, I'll give you a good deal. I'm just going to take a note out of my previous stuff, and we'll call it cool.
It's the same, like, synthesizer sound. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's not great.
I mean, I love how 80s it sounds. Did you know that Harold also did Top Gun Maverick?
He did the Top Gun theme.
I wanted to throw that. Yeah.
Let me just, before we get too far into it, today we're talking about Cuffs, the 1992 Christian Slater movie. And I want to make a challenge to us, Chad, even though this movie is 30 years old and we are only sensitive for spoilers for new old IP. Like, we're nice to people and don't spoil the new stuff, the Beavis and Butthead, the Maverick, we Ghostbusters Afterlife. We give you a heads up, and we save all of our spoilers for Patreon. I would like to challenge us to discuss this film today, even though it's 30 years old, for the main podcast without giving spoilers. Let's do an exercise between Adam and Chad. Break this film down without spoiling critical plot elements. Now, we can talk about scenes, we can talk about characters, but don't give it away. Don't give away the main plot points. Can you do that? Can we do that? Let's find out.
I got women to do, places to see. That's not a plot point. That's probably just one of my favorite lines from the movie outside of the first one, which is, it's been bothering me for some time now. Where do you buy your clothing?
I've got women to do. I've got people to. What's the line? I've got places to go.
I got women to do. Places to see.
Okay.
I've been quoting that for a long time.
He's a scumbag, right? The very first scene, he's going to leave his pregnant girlfriend. The opening scene, Christian Slater turns to the camera's like, well, I got to leave her now. After she says, I'm pregnant.
He was also like 23.
He was 21.
He was a young dude.
So that 21 that excuses running out on her on his pregnant girlfriend, huh? Because he's quote young unquote.
Well, now I can't answer that question.
That's his character arc. He's a scumbag. he's not a good person, and then he becomes a rent-a-cop. And since we're not giving spoilers, I can't tell you if he saves the day or not. Like, we'll never know, because no spoilers.
I mean, do you really think people are going to listen to this episode? I want to ask you, do you really think people are going to listen to this episode and go, thank God they didn't ruin Cuffs for me? Like, of all the movies we've talked about over the last, 3.5 years, this is the oddest one that we're going to go, no spoilers here. This is odd. It's funny that I've never thought of it in terms of rent-a-cop. You know what I mean? Like, that's hilarious. I did look it up. I mean, this patrol specialist program is actually a real thing that started in 1847. And the last stat I saw, there were still 40 patrol officers as of 2011. So this is actually a real program that this filmmaker, as people accuse, ripped off of Eddie Murphy movies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real thing.
Yes, and I'd like to issue another challenge as well. Let's give our audience some context for what we're talking about before we just jump right in and get that into the weeds. Okay, so this is
Because we can't talk about the plots.
You do the one-liner just like you would for a movie trailer or an IMDb review or synopsis. Christian Slater is a 21-year-old scoundrel who wants to leave his pregnant girlfriend who just lost his job, and he goes to his brother in San Francisco and asks for money, and his brother says, man, I bailed you out so often. Why don't you come to the force, that I run my private security rent-a-cop program and earn an honest living. And the scoundrel
patrol
that Christian
specialist
Slater,
patrol specialist program. It's a lot cooler than rent-a-cop. All right? Okay. do the movie justice. Do this bad, my favorite bad movie justice, please.
And George Cuffs, for one reason or another, circumstances force him to follow in his brother's footsteps. And even says the line, "I never really thought of myself as a cop. I'm like one of the bad guys. I just want a quick score and to retire." As he's 21, I love how he's like, "I just want to retire." He's never really worked it. And so that's the premise of the movie.
The Hardcore Gaming 101 podcast is on a mission to rank the top games of all time.
I like the idea that when Bruce Wayne gets angry, he switches to the Batman voice.
Why do you have such a problem making boomerangs shaped like a bat?
You mean like Batman?
Not like Batman! Just make it for me, Bruce Wayne! I can't even with this guy!
It's a Herculean task, and I'd be lying if I said it hasn't taken a toll on our cognitive faculties.
Most people would be happy to have a job during a global pandemic. Dennis!
Hardcore Gaming 101, twice a week, every week, right here on the HyperX Podcast Network.
SequelCast 2 and Friends looks at movies and video games and franchises one movie and game at a time. Hosted by Matt Bradley Shurgi, Thrasher, and Alex Miller, been going since 2009, and we're part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
But I thought he was a real cop. Like, when we were kids, didn't you think he was a real cop? Did you pick up on the whole... He's a rent-a-cop?
No.
Or what did you call him?
Never.
Security patrol specialist?
It's the patrol specialist program.
One city in the world does this exist
in
the U.S.?
I picked up on that when I was a kid. Like, okay. I'm shocked that you were like...
He calls himself a cop, though.
I mean... So did the rules change? Like, were things different in the 1800s versus... 1992, you know, like, yeah. I maybe they had more power back in the day. And right after this movie came out, they were like, you know what? We should scale back what we allow them to do. And they were like, let's now just make it citizens' arrests.
Yeah. You know how Blazing Saddles killed off the Western genre, basically?
Yeah.
This killed off the patrol specialists in San Francisco because Christian Slater made them look so bad. It's like people are like, wait, really? That's a thing? You have to pay for your police force and they're not real cops? Like, what's with San Francisco?
I can or the worst is like, oh my God, I can shoot guns and be a cop without being a cop? Like, no, it's not a thing.
And the bad guy, one of the plot points of this film is a bad guy comes along and tries to buy the district. So that could easily happen. IRL, just bad guy come in and be like, "Here's a bunch of cash. I now own the district." What do you guys think in San Francisco? I mean, I've heard of defunding the police, but this is a little extreme.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
This is like the opposite of that. This is I'm going to hire my own private security because the police suck. I mean, is that what that program says? The police are not good enough. I need to pay an individual that has a citizen's arrest only classification to watch over my business. You call Christian Slater, you know, a scumbag. But you were like, that's how 21 year olds are. You know what I mean? They don't want the police around. They
I'm talking
they
about scumbag for running out on his
pregnant
girlfriend.
To see.
You don't abandon your pregnant girlfriend the day she says she's pregnant and leave a note and leave town. I mean, he's a scumbag. He's a bad guy. You can't justify that. He ran out on his pregnant girlfriend.
He says she would be better off without him. He was looking out for her, or so he thought.
Oh my God.
And
we are using this clip. We're making a poll. Is Chad right that it's okay to run out on your pregnant girlfriend?
Oh, no, I'm 100% wrong. I'm 100% wrong. I just think that you're using terminology thing about Christian Slater's character that I think are a little bit extreme.
No.
I'm just like, dial it back.
Women, let me know.
And I can't, because you put this thing on us, I can't actually say what happens in the movie. So now I can't even defend my own position. I'm getting heated and I finally get coffee again and I'm heated. I don't like this. I'm gonna zen out. I can't talk about the movie. I can't defend the position.
Well, let's talk about his girlfriend, shall we? How old do you think she was when this movie was made?
I have no clue. I didn't look that one up. My guess is 20?
17.
No.
She was born in 75, and this movie was made, it came out in 92. So she may have been so this 21-year-old knocked up a 17-year-old and is like, she'd be better off without me. I'm going to just leave in the middle of the night and leave a note. Honey, I'm going to go buy a pack of cigarettes. Like, scumbag.
I'm really glad I didn't know that. I'm really glad I didn't know how old she was.
I mean, the actress was 17. I don't know how old the character was supposed to be, but so.
No, I think the character was older.
By the way, she went on to do a whole bunch of stuff. Her name is Milica Jovovich, and she was she went on to be a big thing. She was, according to Wikipedia, the repository of all knowledge. She was, in 2004, Forbes magazine determined that she was the highest paid model in the world. In 2004, she went on to be in movies like Resident Evil. In 2006, VH1 called her the reigning queen of kick butt. So she went on to be a pretty big deal. And that's funny to me.
What did you say her name was? What did you say her first name was?
Milica?
It's Mila Jovovich. Milica.
You don't think...
Oh, that was her given name. Her stage name. Her stage name. Everybody knows her as Mila Jovovich.
Okay, you're right.
That's her stage name.
You're right. Okay. No, I'm
sitting here going, what the hell are you talking? You're acting like you don't know who this is.
I really don't. I mean, she's the girl from Cuffs. Did she ever do anything else?
She's a huge star. She's a massive star.
She's a massive star in the post-2000 world. In 2004, she was the world's largest supermodel, according to Forbes magazine. So, why are you so sputtery? Why
are you... Because I just...
You're buffering.
She's a massive star. Like, okay. I'm shocked that you're acting like this is like some crazy thing. I mean, she was in The Fifth Element. She was like the star of The Fifth Element.
Oh, that was her. Okay. Well, she was
Dazed and Confused.
She was 17
in
this.
Zoolander. She was like, what the? I'm sorry. I'm so, if you go to, I hate Rotten Tomatoes, but I went to Rotten Tomatoes, which obviously both critics and audiences hated this movie. Mm. But if you read the comments, it was like, it's worth it for seeing her, even though she's not in it much, and yada, yada, yada. She's the star. She's the one that became more famous than Christian Slater.
Speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, 28% is what it has on Rotten Tomatoes. 28%, 2.8 on Letterboxd, 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb. So why are we doing this movie? Why? What? You said it was one of your favorite good, not great movies. One of your favorite good, not great movies. What is it about Cuffs that speaks to Chad. I'm not going to make fun of you. I legitimately want to know why we're covering this movie.
Thank you for prefacing you won't make fun of me, which I guess that would be a first. I
almost spit out my coffee.
I know this movie is not great. I know this movie is not great. And I mean, even going back and like when he gets, how do you cover this? There's a point in the movie where something changes and I don't like what I wanted to, you know what? Screw you and your plans. You know what I mean?
Okay, there is spoilers. A point.
He obviously has a partner. He doesn't like his partner. Ted. You know, he wants to be alone, Ted. And so Ted. He drugs him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that whole scene on the stairs when that's kicking in mm-hmm. with the sound effects mm-hmm. is so lame. It is so lame. Some of the sound design in this movie is so lame yeah. and so bad. But outside of that, I just love this movie. It's fun. I know you think that Christian Slater's a scumbag in it, but he turns it around. He started out as a typical young, boy and becomes a man in this movie. And he gets shot. And it's fun. And I don't care what you say. You can make fun of me if you want. But it's a great movie.
You know what's really
funny? That's bad.
It's a great movie that's bad. Okay, so... You know what's funny? That you said that's so stupid? I the part on the stairs was stupid. But I think Ted was my favorite part of this movie. I think Ted...
Oh, yeah.
Was really funny. And as far as his just... And he was in it a lot less than I remembered. He was in that first part
yeah.
where he gets drugged, and then he's gone forever because he's suspended. And then...
Yep.
And then he comes back for the finale, basically. And
yeah.
I thought he was the funniest part of the whole movie.
He has just the best dumb look.
Yes, he does.
You know what I mean? He always has that lip quiver of, like, confusion.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's one of those things to where I've been quoting so many of these lines for so long. You know what I mean? That even as an adult, it holds a special place. I mean, at the end of that, on the shootout, all right, you're all arrested. So, like, lying out on the ground or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many great lines in this movie that are funny.
I guess. It was...
What do you mean, you guess? I mean...
This is one of those movies that I liked growing up, and then watching it again, it just... It isn't great. I don't know if it's 28% out of 100% bad, but it's certainly in the 5.9 out of 10 bad. It's no more than a 6. There's nothing great about it.
The thing that annoys me about these ratings is these rating systems all came out post 2000. You know, like Rotten Tomatoes, you know, is like nearing in on 2010.
Sure.
Right? So if you read these reviews, it's all people going like, well, you know, it's, you know, Mila's not in it that much, but maybe you can see it. Or they're rating it bad. Or they're like, or my favorite is, yeah, it's an 80s ripoff. I want to know what people thought back when it came out, which I don't think it did that great either when it came out.
No, it didn't.
But it's far better than what people are saying.
This was made for the teenage girls that liked Christian Slater. This was a PG-13, not R-rated movie that was made for the teenage girls that bought the magazines, that had the posters on their wall. And so I can see why you like the movie so much.
Teenage girls and Chad Bischoff. I mean, it was made. I guess that's what this movie was made for.